This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's going on, everybody? We're kicking off hour two of Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network, coming at you literally from coast to coast today. Stormy Bonantoni out remote in Los Angeles ahead of the NHL draft, which will be tomorrow evening at the Peacock Theater here in LA. Keith Irizarry holding it down in NYC. Also, coming up in 30 minutes, we will have UFC betting analyst Britton Hess. He's going to join us to break down all things International Fight Week. UFC 317 is upon us from Vegas on Saturday. Ilya Topuria, big favorite in the main event against Charles Oliveira. How will he handle the step up in weight class with the title on the line as a big favorite? Topuria, I mean, good co-main, good undercard as well, so that'll be fun. End of the show, we'll rehash our best bets of the day. And after our first break this hour, we're going to come back with, is that something you might be interested in, Keith? I don't know if we've done this segment with you before or not, but producer Brian has some bets. He wants to run by us, and it's our job to either set him straight or take the bait and make the bet.
Oh, I've done the segment. Yes, I've done the segment with you. I think I was on the maiden voyage of this segment with you. I don't know if you saw for the video audience, I was throwing some hands there. We're going to do a little UFC later. Have you ever done any mixed martial arts, boxing, anything like that?
I'm an extremely uncoordinated person, Keith, so that's going to be a no. Unfortunately. Have you? You look like you could put them up.
I did. Yeah. When I was younger, I boxed. Yes. It was fun. Like, my dad actually did that with me when I was a kid, like growing up to, you know, make me tougher, like make sure that I always knew how to, you know, defend myself or whatever. I did that until I was about 13 or 14 years old, and then moved into more of the, team oriented sports. I love it. So my wife won't let me box anymore because she says I'm on TV, and if I get hit in the face, then I'm going to need like extra makeup and all that kind of stuff. So she has shot that down. But yes, I do still have a heavy bag in my gym, and I still hit that. Yes.
That's a good woman. A fair point by her. What's interesting to me is, and I've bet MMA a good bit, and I'm glad we'll have Britton on because he's so dialed in. I have a lot of friends that work for UFC, but I get very squeamish at those events. Like, it's weird. I love hockey fighting and I encourage it and I am all for it, but something about like some of the hits that these guys take and the knockouts, or even like some of the submissions that are so it's uncomfortable viewership for me at times, but I know people love it and there's money to be made in it.
I think that you get squeamish because, like, in real life, the moves that these men and women are doing on each other, like, could end really, really badly, like very, very wrong. So, like, in real life, that's what I think your mind gets taken to. I mean, the same way, like, so I grew up watching nothing but boxing as a child. I mean, literally, like, my dad would let me stay up late on the Fridays and Saturday nights to watch the fights. We would get the pay-per-views. Like, I vividly remember when, like, I would be, you know, 10, 11 years old, and my dad would let me stay up. My sister, who was 5 years older than me, she would fall asleep on the couch because she didn't really care about it anyway. My mom would fall asleep, and my dad would be like, just be quiet so you don't wake them, and then I don't have to make you go to bed. But yeah, like, it can be vicious at times. It's as simple as that. And in real life, vicious isn't great, but in sports, it's kind of fun.
And for the record, though, some of the, like, that main and co-main event, like Ilya Topuria, Charles Oliveira, Alexandre Pantoja, Kai Kara France, speaking of vicious, those guys are vicious. So looking forward to that conversation a little bit later. Quick reminder, everybody, if you haven't checked out Edge Boost, now is the time. Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring any and all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You get cash back rewards, 100% approval for betting deposits as well. If you want to sign up today, head over to edgeboost.bet and use our promo code MONEY. You deposit $25. Edge Boost will match that deposit for you. That's edgeboost.bet. Always nice to be able to separate your day-to-day money from your betting bankroll, which, as we try to put our betting bankroll to use today in Major League Baseball, Keith, we have three games that are all set to get underway in the next 10 minutes or so. A's Tigers, Blue Jays Guardians, Mariners Twins. Let's start in Detroit. Tigers in game one of this series had a nice rocking chair, 11-4 win, but the A's evened it up yesterday, 3-0 shutout. Jacob Lopez was great. As for today, it's Jeffrey Springs on the hill for the A's. Detroit, Dietrich Enns. Tigers opened around minus 164 favorites, but it's going against them a bit, minus 150 now. So if you did like Detroit, getting a little bit of a discount. A's getting some bets from plus 135 to plus 130. The run total in this one is 8.
So I would like to deviate from the betting standpoint just for a second. Dietrich Enns, I think that we'd be remiss if we don't talk about the journey for this guy. So he's 34 years old, right? And take a look at this full circle type of moment for Enns. So Enns went 1,453 days between big league appearances from 2017 to 2021. And then today will mark 1,419 days since he last appeared in the majors in 2021. He's been lighting it up on the AAA level. So the Tigers are excited about giving him this opportunity. I don't know what to expect from him. I'm rooting for him. I like stories. He's a changeup kind of pitcher. So he's going to be trying to, you know, keep the A's off kilter a little bit. Pretty cool story there. And I know, you know, you as a host and also a sideline reporter, like, you love stories. So I felt like we'd be remiss if we didn't at least bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It pulls on your heartstrings, and you know, as an organization, they're rooting for him. Like I mentioned, though, unfortunately, the line moving against him a little bit here today, but still Detroit, a big favorite. And I think rightfully so. I didn't end up playing anything in that one. I do know, though, you have a wager in Blue Jays and Guardians. Cleveland won three of their last four, had a 5-4 win in extras last night against Toronto. Blue Jays did take game one of the series on Tuesday. Move toward Cleveland here. Opened minus 115. I'm seeing as high as minus 135. The run total here is 8. And I know the bet, there was a bet that you said would be a best bet at the end of the hour that you couldn't give out. But now is the time, man. This game's about to get underway. What should the people be going for?
It's all about Vladdy. And I know George Springer had the grand slam yesterday, but Vladdy got us the bases, got us the hits, the runs, the RBIs. And I will routinely say this. There's probably like 10 to 20 Major League Baseball players right now where when they are on a heater, if you are betting, just keep betting them until that heater ends. Like, just continue to roll with it, because you will continue to just feed your bankroll. So we're going to go total bases here. And I got in at plus 120, over 1.5 total bases. He has done this 6 of his last 8 games. There's a little bit of your heater. And I know that some people will turn around and say, well, Tanner Bibee's a pretty good pitcher. That's not a great matchup. It actually has been a good matchup for Vladdy. He's 4-for-8, has a home run against him. So again, I hope that today's not the day that it ends. I know that it will end, but like, Vladdy, he's a guy that does that. I've had Mookie Betts in the past. When he gets on a heater, you roll with him. Jose Altuve is a guy that you roll with when he's on a heater. And then you roll, like, and then once they have the one bad game, get off. Move to your next guy. That's fine.
At least one hit in 6 of 8 games, 3 homers and 3 doubles in that time. He's been awesome. So, yeah, keep riding the wave while you can here. Good reminder, too, guys, up at VSiN.com right now. Every day there are daily MLB articles that are up. Greg Peterson's got one this morning. His article, he did like the Guardians in this spot, but did say see some positive regression coming for Kevin Gausman as well. So look that up. If you can't, VSiN.com/subscribe. Don't get limited by the articles. Go ahead.
Yeah, my fear about this, though, is that, so the Bibee numbers, again, I want to come back to Bibee. I know that we know he's talented, but he's been bad as of late. So he hasn't won a game since May 22nd, 5 starts, 0-3, ERA at 4.4, given up 15 earned runs. Cleveland has lost 4 of those 5 games. I know other shoe flipping, all that kind of stuff, but like, I'm anti-Bibee right now until he proves to me that he can get back to his winning ways.
Okay, let's get to the last one of this early portion of the schedule. Mariners and Twins here. Seattle, 3-game win streak there came to an end yesterday. 2-0 shutout loss to the Twins today. Minnesota is a minus 136 home favorite here against Seattle. Run total sitting 9. And there's a player prop that really caught your eye in this one as well, Keith.
Oh, yeah. I love when I can find some diamonds in the rough. Yeah, like, so it's really, some people say, oh, it's easy to give a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. a prop, or it's easy to give it a Ronald Acuna Jr. prop because they're stars. Fine. Yes, we still want to make money. But you got to find the other guys, too. So Brooks Lee is probably a name that if you don't follow baseball day in and day out, you might go, who? What sport does he play? Yeah, he's a baseball player. And he has been on fire, 3-game hitting streak right now. If you look at the last 23 games that he has actually gotten an at-bat in, he has had at least one hit in 22 of those 23 games. During that stretch, batting .348, 3 doubles, 3 home runs, 2 or more bases in 3 of his last 6 games. So Brooks Lee, who also, by the way, went from the number 9 hitter to now, I think he's batting 6 today. We're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus .110. So essentially, it's almost even money there. But then I think you got to get the plus money as well. I told you about the total bases, 3 of his last 6 games, and all the doubles that he's hit during this streak. So let's go with over 1.5 total bases, getting in at plus +135. My guy, Brooks Lee. B-Rooks!
I'm all for it, and you've been crushing the props this week, so let's keep it rolling there. Real quickly, before we let you go, did just want to let any of our WNBA fans know, we did get news Caitlin Clark is going to be out today for the Fever's game against the Sparks. We've seen a 4-point adjustment in that game. The Fever opened a 9.5-point favorite, now sitting just 5.5, total 167.5. No surprise, though, that they're still a favorite considering how brutal the Sparks have been. But for Caitlin Clark, who didn't miss a game in college or her first year in the W, 2 stretches now that she's missing time. Her head coach, Stephanie White, did say she expects this to be day-to-day coming out of that MRI. But after she just came back from the quad, not what you want to see from your star of the league.
Really quick, not a bad idea, though, to give her a little bit of rest. Last 3 games, 13 of 47 shooting and 1 of 23 on threes.
Dude, yes, the threes, it's been brutal. Okay, we've got to step aside. When we come back, is that something you might be interested in? Producer Brian trying to sway us for a couple wagers. We'll see if we're buying it.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting on sports? Why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number 1 ST, bet.com. And use our promo code VSiN200. That'll claim you a 20% rebate your first 60 days up to $200. Head to First Bet today. Again, that's First Bet, the number 1 ST, bet.com.
What if I told you I have a bet nobody's thought of yet? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Oh, this open cracks me up every time. Welcome back to Money Moves. Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And this segment, is that something you might be interested in? Our wonderful producer, Brian Ortega, Keith, has come up with a few props and different plus money wagers that he wants to talk us into because he's high on them. So let's start in the NBA, fresh off of the NBA draft. Producer Brian says, I know AKC is the power out west, but with the addition of Cooper Flagg to the Mavs, along with Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, I think the Mavericks could make it all the way and win an NBA title in 2026. 40-1 is the price. Is that something you might be interested in, Keith Irizarry?
Wait, he got 40-1? I got it at 30-1. What? All right, so I am so interested in this. Now, I don't know if they really win the championship, but if we go through the West, right? So Oklahoma City, they're going to be the odds-on favorite. We know that. They already are. They can bring back everybody, and they even drafted the kid Sorber from Georgetown, a center that could potentially be the guy that fills in for Hartenstein 2 years from now. Anyway, but no one wins back-to-back in the NBA. So, do we believe in the Houston Rockets? Kevin Durant there? I don't know. Do we believe in the LA Lakers? I don't know. Do we believe in the Golden State Warriors? Do you see what I'm doing here? Do we believe in the Timberwolves? I don't know. But when you look at what the Dallas Mavericks have, you have Anthony Davis that, when healthy, is a top 10 player in the NBA. You have Kyrie Irving, when healthy, is a top 15 player in the NBA. When Klay Thompson is shooting, he is just as good as anybody in the NBA as a shooter, right? You got Daniel Gafford, you have Lively, and now you add in Cooper Flagg. It feels like a championship caliber roster. So I'm in. I'm just upset I got in at 30-1.
It feels like a championship caliber roster if they're not all on freaking crutches. How many times did you say when healthy going through that whole description? So that's my thing. Like, yes, I think Cooper Flagg is unbelievable. I'm very excited for what his future can hold. Will that immediately translate? We'll have to see. But yeah, let's go to Kyrie Irving, who tore his ACL in March. So he's not even going to be available until when? January, February is what he's targeting for. But at that point, where in the standings are they going to be? It's not like Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson are exactly the picture of health. Derek Lively's dealing with an ankle. They've got injuries all over the place. This is the Mavericks are the walking wounded. And you're telling me they're going to win an NBA title? This is where I get everybody like loves the new shiny toy. But I'm not there. I don't think they can stay healthy.
I don't like this vitriol. I don't like it at all. That was too much anger from you.
How young Kyrie in it. No, I'm sorry. I had to get it off of my chest. But if you are looking in on the Mavs, maybe when the market becomes available, you do like a to make the playoffs or something like that, maybe. Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that another way to roll with it?
Yeah, I mean, yes, sure.
Something. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm sorry. Okay, Brian says, with one of the more underwhelming announcements for a head coach, true, he thinks Brian Schottenheimer has a good chance with the right weapons to be the coach of the year. 30-1 in Dallas. Could Schottenheimer be coach of the year? What do you think?
Hold on. So, put Stormy on the screen with me for a second. I just want to counter her question with a question. Okay.
And I know you didn't write this, Brian. This is Brian Ortega's question.
I know.
But
you read it though. I want to know, because I think you're an impressive broadcaster, right? How were you able to read that and not laugh?
Well, I did give a little nudge when he said it was underwhelming. I was like, yeah, this is...
You didn't laugh. I'm impressed with you. I didn't.
Thank you. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, legitimately impressed with you. No. I would not... No. No, thank you. There's no chance. So let's say you and I are doing the show again next year. If Schottenheimer is coach of the year, we'll have a penalty for me. Because I'm shooting this down so much. I don't know what we want to do. I could wear Dallas Cowboys clothes on this. I could change my last name to Schottenheimer for an entire episode of Money Moves, whatever it is. There is zero chance he will be coach of the year.
He is the same price as Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay as well. And like Shanahan, I think JVT and I have talked about this, is an interesting one at 30-1 to me, just because of how few games they won last year. And you think about the different factors you need. And this is the one rebuttal that I'll say to the Schottenheimer part of it as well, is this award is not for who's the best coach in the NFL. If it was, Bill Belichick would have had way more. Andy Reid would have had Mike Tomlin, right? Those aren't the guys that win coach of the year super often. It's these teams that have a great jump from one year to the next. And with the 49ers going from 6 wins last year to what could they do? 7 wins for the Cowboys. Like, what threshold do you think they could get over? It's a most improved award. It's a narrative award. So if the Cowboys did play well, that would check.
Yeah.
Like if you think so, I think I am a believer that the Dallas Cowboys will go over their season win total this year. There are a lot of things I like about the Cowboys getting back on track, although the schedule does work against them. But you have to put together a couple factors. Narrative, yes, would work for him. Bounce back would work for him. But I think they're going to win 8 games. Do you think they're going to have 10 plus and make the playoffs? That's another discussion, because that is a threshold that we see year in and year out that you need to have for a coach of the year honor.
Exactly. So they had 7 wins last year, right? That's correct. Dallas Cowboys were 7 wins last year. Like 9 wins is probably a successful season. 10 wins would be glorious. I don't think either of those are going to get Schottenheimer coach of the year. And again, it actually doesn't mean that he's like, you know, trash as a coach. I just don't think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be good enough Listen, maybe I'll have egg on my face and the Cowboys will win 13 games. And again, we can have this conversation a year from now and everyone could say you were a Schottenheimer and a Cowboy hater. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm being a realist. I just don't see them winning more than 9 or 10 games. And I don't think that will warrant him getting coach of the year.
I agree. And I'm looking through some of this other stuff. So Brian Daboll's Giants, the year he won it, were 9-7. But prior to that, the last coach of the year winner with fewer than 10 was Jimmy Johnson in the 1990 Cowboys. Coach of the year winners have averaged just shy of 12 wins since 99 and have an average of more than 5.5 wins better that following year. So those are all the things you're asking for from the Dallas Cowboys this year. And I just don't see that happening. But that's why I think for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, that actually could be a worthwhile bet, because I very much so think those things could happen or be near that given the schedule with which they play and the talent that they do have coming back. Okay, let's hit one more. We're going to stick with the NFL. Brian says, we know there are a lot of teams in the NFL with rough situations, but I think the Titans might be a play to have the fewest wins in the NFL. So he thinks their situation might be the worst. 12-1 is that price. They are the fifth shot on the board, Keith. The Browns are a 4-1 favorite. Saints plus 425, Giants 6-1. Jets 8-1, and then the Titans right there at 12-1. Their win total this year is 5.5.
Moderately interested in this one. I don't know if I'd want to lock up money in a future like this.
No belief.
For that, moderately interested. The problem is, I think the Saints are going to be like bad. I think the Saints are going to be like a 2-3 win team. Like, I think they're going to be historically bad. The Giants are not going to be good, but I don't know if they're going to be terrible. The Jets are not going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be terrible. And the Titans are... I just think the Saints are much worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
That division is better.
The defense is brutal. But to your point, and I agree, I think the Saints are worse. 3 wins last year for the Titans, but like, I don't know about you, I can think of 3 or 4 games off the top of my head where Will Levis did something stupid and cost them the game that they could have won more games than they did, obviously. So
if you tell me that Cam Ward...
Go ahead. Do it.
If you tell me that Cam Ward now likes mayonnaise in his coffee, we'll revisit this conversation.
I am a Cam Ward fan, okay? I still believe in Tony Pollard. I like the wide receiver room. The offensive line is supposed to revamp. The defense is a problem. But they have the eighth easiest schedule in the NFL, too. So I don't know. I don't think it can be that bad. Brian, I feel bad. I wasn't on board with the bets today. Shoot. You need to be more tempting, Brian.
Sorry, Brian.
On that note, we're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Britton Hess is going to join us, UFC betting analyst. We're going to get into International Fight Week in UFC 317. Stick around. Great main event, great co-main. You won't want to miss it.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're rolling along on this Thursday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. He's Keith Irizarry. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. It's International Fight Week. UFC 317 coming up Saturday from Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. One of the best lineups of the year, headlined by a pair of title fights. And to help us dive into it all, Britton Hess joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, UFC betting analyst, Underdog Podcast, one of former VSiN legends. What's going on, Britton? How are you, stranger? Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. I hear you're in the area in my neighborhood in LA, covering the NHL draft, so hope you have a good time with that. And couldn't be more excited for International Fight Week. We go year round. There's all these fight night cards that you're stretching to get information on some of these fighters that are a little bit unknown. This one, it's a buffet that I won't be able to finish. There's too many good fights to even talk about here.
Oh, I thought Keith was going to go. I'm sorry. We should have just done this together, and then we wouldn't have had the delay between each other, because if we were in the same place, it wouldn't have been like that. But you're dead on. There are so many big names, fun fights, whether you're looking at the main card or even the undercard. There are a couple sneaky good ones here. But let's start with the the fight that everybody's going to be waiting for, Ilya Topuria and Charles Oliveira going head-to-head. Topuria, I was surprised to see him such a big favorite in this one at minus 455, a heavy price to put up against somebody who is obviously trying to recapture his belt and the former lightweight champion. And you've got a guy in Topuria who's stepping up in class. So how do you think he does at this new weight, and what are you looking at?
Yes, it is a new weight class, but it's hard to doubt what we've seen out of Topuria, knocking out legends Max Holloway and Alex Volkanovski in his last two fights at featherweight. And we also got to remember, Charles Oliveira did actually used to fight at featherweight before he found glory at lightweight. But I just think that this comes down to one thing, which is, striking. Boxing, Ilya Topuria is much better. Head strike defense, Charles Oliveira has always been below average, even when he was a champion. He was able to compensate with toughness and, getting grappling exchanges going and finding submissions. Oliveira is one of my favorite fighters of all time. He was kind of just a journeyman in the organization. Then he caught fire and won the belt. It's Topuria's time, though. I think the striking advantage is going to be too pronounced, and I believe Topuria is probably going to win via KO. The best price I'm seeing is minus 150 at FanDuel. So I will say, if you play a parlay with that on FanDuel, be careful. Don't get caught tailing anybody because they could void your bet.
Yeah, that was a story, huh? Yeah, I saw that one too. All right, let's go to the flyweight title bout. How would you handicap this one?
Again, I think this one's going to come down to age and striking. I think Kaikara France, he's 3 or 4 years younger than Alexandre Pantoja. Pantoja is obviously an excellent champion. He's a guy who's been in the UFC forever. Approaching 36 years old. And meanwhile, Kaikara France, he's been on the doorstep of a title shot for a while. He's had some, bad decisions go against him that weren't necessarily his fault. But again, it comes down to striking, because I think Kaikara France's 88% takedown defense rate is legit. Obviously, Alexander Pantoja is good at getting people to the ground, but I think he's going to get pieced up on the feet. Just the head strike defense for Pantoja is not elite. Kaikara France is the rare 125-pound flyweight that has true one-punch knockout power. So I actually like the underdog here about 2-1, and you can play him on the knockout at 6-1. So I am actually going to be going with the underdog in the co-main event.
Yeah, they call him Don't Blink for a reason, right? He's got that knockout power. He's hungry. He's finally getting his title shot. So I love an underdog play. And with that, though, since you think it's going to be knockout, when you look at the rounds here at 3.5, would you lean toward maybe an under then as well at plus 130? Or do you think this could go go a little bit farther? How do you feel?
There's definitely early finish equity. Obviously, France's power is there from round 1 through round 5. But Pantoja also, if he does manage to, get the takedown early on in the first or second round when the guys are still a little bit more dry before they're really sweating in there, he's, one of the greatest submission artists in this division. So there is a lot of equity for a finish in this fight. I'm not necessarily going to play it, because also sometimes the way that these title fights are paced, especially for a guy like Kaikara France, who hasn't fought a ton of 5-round fights in the UFC, sometimes they do start a little bit slow and it takes 2 or 3 rounds to feel it out. But it's not, again, I think there's a legitimate shot it goes under. I just don't necessarily love it with this 5-round fight being kind of a little bit more of a question mark for Kaikara France.
Okay, so I guess you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way you're explaining it, does it sound like if Kaikara France is the one that's successful and they have the knockout, it's more likely for it to go under? But if Pantoja, if this thing does get deeper, maybe that favors Pantoja when you get later on in the fight, because he's more familiar with going that length?
There's that, and there's also the potential for Pantoja to just start really slow and be very defensive early. So there's a shot that he's not necessarily trying to bank the first few rounds. He's thinking that, this guy's less experienced. So once we get to, 4th and 5th round, that's where I can separate. I just need to win one of the first 3. Again, I think that there's a legit knockout shot for Kaikara France in any round, though. So it's not necessarily just, that straightforward as far as like the time of the finish based on the winner. But I do really, again, it just comes down to Kaikara France just having a decided striking advantage and an ability to avoid getting taken down that I think that is going to be the difference in this fight.
Britton, is there a value fight out there? Like, I was looking at Emil and Delgado maybe as something we could find some value in.
I can't believe you brought that one up. I was actually just double-checking some information on that one before this started. Haider Emil is a guy that has been underrated since he's joined the UFC, Hurricane Haider Emil. He's no stranger to being underdog. You know, he was plus 180, plus 190 against William Gomez in his last fight. Ended up winning a split decision there. Prior to that, you know, he was a plus 155 underdog, won via first-round knockout. He is a tough customer in there. He's going to Jose Delgado, though, which is another really strong up-and-coming prospect from the MMA lab. That being said, Emil takes guys into deep water. You see a lot of early finishes for Jose Delgado. Nobody's been able to get the early finish on Emil yet. So once we get into rounds two and three, if the finish doesn't come for Delgado, I think Emil has a great shot of winning this. And I think at plus 130, plus 135, it's a really good bet because he is a unique person when it comes to mentality, just the way that he fights.
Brent Hess, UFC betting analyst, the Underdog podcast, wherever you get your podcast, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I did also want to ask you about this bantamweight bout, Peyton Talbot and Felipe Lima, two UFC rising stars. Talbot plus 154 dog here, Lima round minus 185, the round total set at 2.5. But I know a lot of people think this one could be entertaining, maybe be a show stopper at some point. What do you think about it, and who do you think has the edge?
So Talbot was one of the hottest prospects in the UFC until his last fight. You know, he was a massive favorite against Hani Barcelos, and we learned that Talbot's takedown defense and grappling is not, you know, a high caliber at all. Felipe Lima is a very well-rounded fighter. Both these guys obviously can, you know, get finishes and have, you know, have fireworks potential in this one. But I think, you know, Talbot is his only chance is standing. Felipe Lima, though, has shown that he can trade with guys on the feet, and then he also has the ability to get guys to the ground and control them from there. So I think that, honestly, the favorite would be my play here. I'm not going to go with the underdog just because, again, it's such a glaring weakness that we saw. You know, I was actually at that fight in L.A. Earlier this year, and it was just totally, you know, the wind was sucked out of the arena because Talbot was just getting taken down and had no answer. So I think Lima can employ a similar strategy, get this fight on the ground, and maybe find a submission there. But if not, he's a guy who's happy to ride his way to a decision victory.
Quickly sneak in women's fight, Cortez and Araújo. Is there any angle here? Because Cortez, a big favorite.
You know, Cortez has been very good, and unless she's against the, you know, the true elite tip of the spear fighters. And I don't think that's Araújo. So, you know, I think that you could probably look to throw Tracy Cortez into a parlay here. She should be able to find, you know, she's got good wrestling. She's good enough striking. I think she should be able to find her way to a decision victory. So if you want to cut into it, you know, and you know, play it via decision instead of looking at, you know, the heavy money line price, you know, that's like over $2. I think that you can look at Cortez via decision, or you can throw her in a parlay just because you look at the people she, you know, the person she's lost to in the UFC was Rose Namajunas, obviously one of the greatest champions we've seen on the women's side of MMA. But Cortez has beaten, you know, people who are surging like Jasmine Jazadivicius before that. So I really do think that she's a rightful favorite here. I know that, you know, some of her antics, you know, frustrate some people, some of the outside the cage statements and stuff like that. But I just think that this is a good fight for her to get her hand raised. And as I said, decision would be the bet there because she's not necessarily any type of finisher.
Britton, awesome stuff today. Thank you for doing this. We appreciate it, and enjoy all things International Fight Week.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. Have a great show, and good luck betting this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. Britton Hess doing a great job covering the UFC again. The Underdog podcast, download, subscribe, 5 stars, all the things. Also, a good reminder, too, with UFC 317 coming up this weekend, at VSiN.com right now, live on the website, full preview of the event in written form there as well. VSiN.com/subscribe. Do not reach the article limit. Get in there. Lou Finicaro doing a great job covering all things UFC for us here at VSiN as well. We are going to step aside when we come back. Rounding out the day, we're closing up shop with our best bets presented by GBank. You won't want to miss it. Lots of baseball on deck.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, wrapping up this Thursday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni and Keith Irizarry with you as we are about to get into some of our best bets for the day. A lot of baseball. Baseball already ongoing on your screens. The Tigers up 1-0 in the top of the third, although the A's do have two on right now. We'll see if they can do anything with it. Blue Jays Guardians scoreless through two. And in a rain delay with Mariners Twins, Keith, how rude. After we did such an eloquent preview right before first pitch, we didn't even get it.
Yeah, but how about my guy Dietrich Enns, right? We talked about his story. Two innings, one hit, one K. I'm rooting for him. Sometimes there's just people you root for. And he's because,
I'm with you. So tell me why we don't have days like this more in Major League Baseball, where it is a short card. There's only nine games. But eight of them are all starting before 12:45 Pacific, starting before 4 Eastern. In the summertime, when we don't have other stuff going on, this should be all the time. Like, give us all the day baseball, please, so that we can fill our day, no?
Yes, and also as the guy that's sitting here on the East Coast, I love only one game that's a night game, and it's at 7:10 p.m. So, like, if I wanted to go to sleep early tonight, I could, right? My baseball's done. The NBA draft, I made a joke with you that while I will be paying a little bit of attention to round two, Bronny James is not out there, so I don't have to continue to watch to see if Bronny James is going to get drafted in the second round. So I can kind of, you know, have that almost as background noise. Like, in theory, it never happens, but in theory, if I wanted to be asleep at 11 o'clock tonight Eastern time, I probably could.
What a time to be alive. And lucky you, too. The fact that the evening game tonight is Braves-Mets, it's like, okay, you even get a New York sports team standalone game for yourself. So there you go. Speaking of which, we do have a lot of baseball still to come here with some games getting underway in the next, like, 20 minutes or so. So lots to preview as we get to our best bets of the day. Presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN, and we do have the trifecta going on right now. If you haven't heard about it, the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and us here at VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card. Your first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will then give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. $200 in value there. So that is your $500 trifecta from our friends at GBank, First Bet, and us, of course, at VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank is how you can get more information and sign up. VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. But okay, Keith, where do you want to get started today? I know you've got a lot to get through, so kick us off here.
Let's go chronologically backwards. So we're going to start with the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets, and Ronald Acuña Jr. is always a guy that we should pay attention to. He's running a little bit more. You could look at a stolen base. He's scoring runs. You could look at that as well. But when I found total bases at even money, you have to dive in. Two or more bases, four of his last six games. Two or more bases, 10 of his last 15 games. He's been on base in 21 consecutive games. And for Griffin Canning, who he will hit against, Canning's given up four more runs in his last three starts. Now, I know the Mets kind of, you know, quote-unquote, righted the ship yesterday. The Mets are scuffling right now. The Atlanta Braves are kind of like mid, and Ronald Acuña Jr. is electric. So let's roll with Acuña Jr., even money, over 1.5 total bases.
And I think I am ultimately going to end up on the F5 in that game. I probably need to fire on it now, but I like Acuña Jr. I like that play. I might tail you on it as well. But the F5 with this pitching matchup, you mentioned what you did about Canning against the Braves lineup in totality, 49 plate appearances, not great. They're hitting .325 and the expected average is worse, nearly .400. Average exit velocity, 94 miles an hour. And meanwhile, Holmes, I think, deserves better than his 4-6 record. He hasn't given up more than three runs since the beginning of May, goes pretty deep in games, consistently 6-7 innings. So through five, if we can get the Braves to hold on, -115, that price, I'm going to roll with it. Okay, keep your props going.
Just really fast, No, it's out. No. Forget it. I was going to look at the first five total runs. I wanted 3.5. Its first five is over 4.5. That's a little dicey. Not sure I want to do that.
That's how they get you.
Although, -115, not bad. Anyway.
That's how they
all right,
get
next
you.
One. I know. Let's go with the Dodgers. Austin Gomber is on the mound, so we have to find a way to attack him. Gomber only made 2 starts this season, giving up 9 runs in 9 2/3 innings. Lefties against him, 143. Righties against him, 382. So we're veering away from the lefties. So no Freddie Freeman, although he could get a hit. No Shohei Ohtani, although he could get a hit. No Max Muncy, although he could get a hit. How about Andy Pahis? Very quietly has been really, really good for them. Over 1.5 total bases, this a little juicy at -150. So this might be a play that you want to parlay something else with it. But a 5-game hitting streak, 2 or more bases in 4 of his last 5 games, 2 or more bases, 8 of his last 10 games. I looked at the hits, runs, RBIs. That one, the books are giving us over 2.5. And for Andy, I'm not willing to go there. So we're just going to go with the total bases here, -150. A little bit juicy, like I said, but sometimes you're willing to lay the juice for a play you feel really confident in.
And still discounted juice-wise compared to what the Dodgers are on the money line today. Woof, nearly $3, so expensive.
I am going to
an 11:10 Pacific time start, Phillies-Astros. So both games in this series so far have gone under, just 3 combined runs through 2 games. And I think we're going to get more of the same today with these pitchers, Christopher Sanchez and Hunter Brown. Sanchez, 6-2, 2.87 ERA, 3 straight Phillies unders when he's been on the bump, 2-1, 3-2 type games. Meanwhile, Houston's offense, as good as they are average-wise, if you go through the standings, 4th in Major League Baseball, that hasn't really translated to runs. 20th in scoring, very middle of the pack in OPS and slugging as well. And then you got Hunter Brown on the other side, 8-3, 1.88 ERA. That number is even better at home, a 1.19 ERA over his 6 starts in Houston. Cy Young candidate, backed up by the 2nd-best bullpen ERA in baseball. And I was looking through the Phillies' home road splits offensively as well. That's going to work in our favor, too. They're a top-5 offense at home. That number drops to 18th on the road this season and 17th in WRC plus over the last month. The bullpen is their concern. That was your concern when I took the under in this series.
Yes.
In game 1. It was a 1-0 game. So I'm hoping that they can help me out once more today. Under 7, -110.
Refresh me, by the way. Were you my co-host that has the ticket on Hunter Brown, Cy Young, or no?
JVT.
It was. Okay. So I knew it was on this show. I couldn't remember if it was
show.
Me and you
it's
or if it was me
show,
and JVT.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, JVT. He still believes. He still believes.
and very well should be. I mean, Hunter Brown has been fantastic. All right, next one for me. I'm going to take you to Bobby Witt Jr.,
it's just
a guy
that. Tarek Skubal exists. That's all it is. It's just hard when he exists. But yes, go on. And I don't have anything else, so cruise through the rest of your plays, buddy.
All right, so this is another one on my best bets. Bobby Witt Jr., we're going to go over 1.5 total bases. -140, again, a little bit juicy here. Career versus Shane Baz, 1-for-2, has a home run. How about the total bases? 2 or more bases for him in 5 of his last 6 games. 2 or more bases, 7 of his last 9 games. Again, Bobby Witt Jr. would probably be on a list of players that when he heats up, you roll with him. Baz has given up 11 home runs in his last 10 games, 3 or more home runs in 4 of his last 5, 8 of his last 10. So you could actually look at Witt Jr. if you wanted to as well for a home run. Some of the other plays I gave out today earlier, Vladdy, total bases, 1.5 at +120. If this Twins-Mariners game ever goes off, Brooks Lee, we're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, and we're going to take his total bases as well. Boom.
Beautiful. And yeah, if the game ever gets going, I was just bragging about how cool it is we have all these day games. Well, we need to see them too. We did such a beautiful preview earlier in the show, which, good reminder, if you did miss any of the program, you want to catch up on some of the bets you might have missed. Obviously, we broke down the NBA draft, the NHL draft, which is coming up from where I am here in Los Angeles, will be tomorrow. We had Craig Button on the program from TSN. He has been to many a draft. He is so detailed on his breakdowns of all of these prospects. So gave you some good intel for you to take with that information, what you will toward the betting market. The top 5, there is some potential intrigue there with some favorites, yes, that are not as steep as we saw in the NBA draft yesterday, and a whole lot more. Keith, what do you have going on for the rest of the day, buddy?
Today, I have no more work. This is the first day this week I'm not working a double. Wow. I don't really know what to do with myself.
So you are. You're going to sit back, relax, watch baseball, go to bed early. You got a full day as a
I would love to go to sleep early tonight. I would love to. And you, crush it in L.A. I know you will. Looking forward to seeing the coverage.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. And with that in mind, I will be out tomorrow. Ariel Epstein will join Keith for the show tomorrow. Don't miss it. You're going to have even more baseball props to win tomorrow. Hey, thanks, everybody. Have a good day.